website.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud up, what do you got?
So I wanted to give a shout out to three schools who made the top high school, best high school list. It includes over 24,000 public high schools in the 50 states. Three of Southern California schools made it. One is Whitney High School, ranked number one in California, 14th overall in the nation, which is Whitney High School in Cerritos. I'm not going to anglicize it.
That's too bad.
You want me to say Cerritos?
Yeah, because that's how I would have said it.
Okay, Cerritos. The second one is California Academy of Mathematics and Science, ranked number two in California, 15th overall in Carson. And the last one, ranked number three in California, 16th overall, Oxford Academy in Cyprus. I thought that was pretty cool.
So wait, could you go back to the beginning of that? These are the top high schools
in the nation.
In America. And there's how many? 24,000 high schools?
Mm-hmm. According to this thing that I read, yes.
24,000 high schools. Mm-hmm. And these high schools in L.A. County?
They're in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Give me the numbers again. I was trying to follow it all.
I know, it's a lot. So they ranked, the first one is number one in California, but 14th overall.
Got it.
Then number two in California, 15th.
And it's based
overall
on academics? Academics?
It's based on like how well they prepare kids to go to college.
Gotcha.
And these are public high schools?
I mean, I didn't do the deep dive, but one's a public magnet, yes. Number two is. And I believe number one and number two may not be.
Really?
Yeah, you're asking too many follow-ups, bro.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, me and Laura, like, we prepare these things. It Cap's always, like, nails down the nitty-gritty logistics of every question.
Well, you know what? I blame you guys. You want to know why? You bring up interesting stuff.
Okay.
When you bring up interesting stuff, I got...
I can take the heat.
Yeah, when you bring up interesting stuff, I got follow-ups.
Come at me, bro. Remember?
Come at me, sis.
But yeah, shout out to those schools in Cerritos, Carson, and Cypress. That's pretty dope, man. You rank 1, 2, and 3 in California and 14, 15, and 16 in the nation.
I'd actually love to see that list.
I can send it to you.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see the rest of it.
I will send it to you.
My daughter was explaining to me today, she's graduating high school in a month. She's explaining to me today, and I didn't realize this, that when you take AP classes in high school and you get a certain score on the AP test,
yes,
that it counts as college credit.
Yes.
Wait a second.
You did not know that?
What's the point of them?
Well, here's the thing. Number one, I never took any AP classes.
Oh, I took a bunch.
Well, then there you go. I'm not that much younger than you.
Yeah,
okay?
my son didn't take any AP classes, and my other daughter, who's already in college, she didn't take any AP classes. And you guys have to understand where I'm coming from. All I cared about was this. So hold on. If you tell me you're going into college and you've already got this many credits, does that mean you don't have to take that many credits at college? She's like, yeah. I'm like, so it'll cost that much less?
Yes.
Because that's all I was thinking about, guys.
100%. Right. That's why you go through that. That's why I took so many in high school so I could save money in college.
How'd that go? That work?
You know, it was good.
I don't know if it's the same thing, right? But they had a... they called it in our school post-secondary option, where you could actually take college courses. Like, you could leave school your junior and senior year and go to the local community or state college to take classes there. And you didn't have to pay for them because it was part of your high school program.
You can do that.
So that's what I did, yeah.
That would help me out a lot because, you know, my son is at this small school in West Virginia, but he's on a football scholarship, so that's kind of good. And then my other daughter, she goes to Boise State, and, you know, it's a very reasonable place for her to go to school. I think you can pay California rates, even though it's in Idaho. But my third one is going to Tulane. And all I'm thinking about is that guy who caught the safe in the pond the other day that we were talking about and got the $2,000, and George was like, you should return the $2,000. I'm like, no, I'm giving it to Tulane. So that's where my head's at.
Bless your heart for paying for your kids' college tuition.
I know. I had to pay
for
my own.
Well, I don't know. Hey, Lindsay, let me tell you something. We got the word the other day on what kind of financial aid is available to us at Tulane. It still leaves an absolutely massive amount of money to go to school there.
Don't you love when they're like, you make too much money to get a lot of financial aid.
Oh,
but it's still a lot of money that you owe. Like, it just... Don't get me started.
Yeah, being that middle class sucked for me.
I talk about this in sports, too, and it applies to life. The middle class is constantly getting squeezed, is what I would say, in the sense of, like, it's just – it's less existent is what I would say. And sports is like that, too, now, where, you know, a lot of guys in sports make top-tier dollars that they deserve, and there's the young guys or, you know, veteran guys on the way out that make a little bit of money, and there's very little for the players that are a skill level in between. And then what ends up happening is, to apply it to sports, we give max contracts in some cases to athletes in football or basketball or baseball who, in theory, are probably not max athletes in comparison to the other superstars, and then we criticize them because we have created a terrible financial structure for players in the sense of terrible in the sense that we're not applying the same sensibilities to where they should be slotted financially. We've got the max or the minimum, basically, and very little to work with in between. So, like, sports needs to work on that, too. And again, I'm not saying it's terrible because they're getting paid millions of dollars. I'm getting terrible because then we're not putting guys in positions to succeed. So when they underachieve, which is probably the likely scenario, then everybody rips them, when it's like the team shouldn't have given them that contract to begin with.
Mm. Anybody take out any student loans since we were talking about this?
Nope.
Hell no.
Proud to say I didn't.
No, proud and same.
No. Luckily, no.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm looking at.
No. Don't do it, Cap, because my brother-in-law
is
still...
You can afford it. You're fine.
Dude,
the problem is
have
the payments. Yeah, have her work.
I worked.
Most kids your age pay for college themselves.
Dude, she's got two jobs right now, and she tells me that she plans on working.
Just sell Sighted already. You're fine.
Dude, wait. Hey, George, when we sell Sighted, when we finally get acquired, then yes. Then I'll just bankroll the whole thing. No problem.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I was on, like, SoFi.com today looking at student loans at 1.5%.
Okay.
Listen, that's a lie. The whole student loan thing is
a
racket. Because my brother-in-law, he's paid something like, for argument's sake, he's paid like 10 grand towards his student loans, yet they only credit with the interest and everything. They only show that he's paid like $1,500 because of the interest.
Oh,
it's insane.
God.
They kill you on interest.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like a mortgage in a lot of ways. You know?
So, well, I blame UCLA.
Why?
Because she didn't get into UCLA.
Well, I mean.
She got into UCSB. Cal Davis. Great schools.
Right? I agree. I didn't get into UCLA.
And this year, they said this year was the hardest year ever to get into UCLA because so many kids had deferred. And, you know, it's like the number of applications, et cetera, didn't get in.
Well, you know that they lowered and, like, dropped even some schools the admission requirements, like, as far as tests and stuff go.
Yep, that's true.
Because of the pandemic. So
yep, still didn't
that's
get
crazy.
In.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right, we got a break soon. So I do want to talk about this Lakers coaching search, but let's just push that back for 1 second. Real quick, just to let people know, tomorrow and Friday, and I'm sure many people who have listened before know how this works, we're going to be doing our regular show, and when the draft is happening, we will let you know who's getting drafted. That's kind of the way this thing works for people that are new and maybe haven't heard it, but for years, well before I was here in this slot, the first time or the second time, that's just generally how it's been done around here. So, Cap, we're going to be ready. Laura will have a sounder, you know, that little ESPN sounder, that thing.
Yeah.
And then we'll let people know who got drafted, and then we can just move on with talking about, you know, Sighted or something.
Is that what you want to talk about?
No.
You know, let me just tell you something. Let me tell you something very funny about what happened.
Tell me something very funny, Scotty Caps.
Okay, now, by the way, a lot of people are saying on Twitter in the community
that I sound like Roger Rabbit.
Right, but I didn't hear Roger Rabbit.
He sounds like Roger Rabbit, though.
Somebody said you sound like Fire Marshal Bill. Okay, but yeah,
Fire Marshal Bill does not sound like that at all.
Yeah. So let me tell you guys just real quickly a story. Today, I had this Zoom call with this gentleman who works for a big ad company. It's called Veritone. It's not really the part of the story, but he's in Irvine. So we get on this Zoom call today, and he goes, because I'm there, I'm the CEO of this software company, and he goes, hey, man, he goes, I'm a huge fan of the show. And I go, oh, thank you. And he goes, I really like you and the girl. He goes, what's her name, the one that you're always fighting with, like a sister? I'm like, Laura? He's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, you know when she said, come at you, bruh, and you said, come at me, sis? He goes, I died laughing during that. So here I am. I'm having like a professional business conversation where I've got my, you know, CEO software guy hat on. Yeah, and this guy's telling me about what a big fan he is of the 710 show.
There you go. Look at
that. How
you
like that?
Did it help you cut a deal?
Ironically, George, not long after the call, he sent an email and said, hey, can you guys send me all that documentation? Because I really like where we were going, and I think that's a very good idea, and let's maybe do something here. So
look at that.
How about
that?
How do you like that, pal?
Look at that.
You're welcome. Isn't that cool?
I'm like, what was The Rock's name in Moana, the character's name? Maui? Yeah. You're welcome.
I love that movie.
That's a great song.
Such a good movie.
That song is fantastic.
Even your boy Blake Harris that you brought on the show as our Dodger insider.
Yeah.
You know, here you did such a nice thing. He lost his job. You said, hey, come be part of our show. And now guess what? We're hiring him too.
Look at that. You're welcome. We should just play that song all the time now when we do good stuff.
I love that song.
Yeah. My kid's into it all of a sudden now, my 3-year-old on his iPad.
How's he doing?
He's watching his iPad a lot right now because he's got COVID, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, when you said that earlier, dude, how's he doing?
He's fine. He had a little fever this morning, but, you know, we got baby Motrin or whatever, kid Motrin. He's working it out. He'll be fine.
I think he's the first little kid I've heard of getting it.
Oh, there's probably a ton of them.
I'm sure there are.
I know there's.
Because their parents
have
gotten it and whatever, you know? Like it's,
yeah, I'm sure. It's just that for me, I haven't heard of any little kids, and I don't know how it's different for a little guy who hasn't had the vaccination,
well,
obviously.
I feel like with children, in, you know, again, everyone's different, so I'm not trying to, like, put it. It's actually, you know, children are more malleable than adults. You know what I mean? So I think that helps, too. And, you know, this is also, like, the fifth or sixth iteration of the original, so there's that, you know. That also
they
helps.
They definitely have, like, crazier immune systems than.
Way better immune systems than
they bring home everything, and, like, the parents will catch it, but the kids, they'll get sniffles. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's doing okay. You know, he seems in good spirits. So, you know, we're just monitoring him, giving him the meds, and we'll figure it out. So in the interim, let's do the Lakers coaching carousel next, because this thing has gotten completely out of control. So we'll get to that. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Where are you on this, Cap? Where the streets have no name?
Yeah, I just remember the first time I saw you two in about 1983. I was a kid, and I saw their concert at Red Rocks, and I went crazy. Like, to me, back then, you two was it. Loved you two. But I've never seen them live, have you?
Oh, I have.
Yeah?
Yeah, I saw them when I was living in Miami during the, what was the tour they did? Hold on, I'm trying to think. I'd have to look back at the albums. But U2 tours, let's look it up, over the years.
Where the streets have no names.
Jewish history. Joshua Tree Experience. It was like 2009, Vertigo. So 2005. There you go. And that was an awesome experience. It was a stadium experience. And I remember the concert began with Bono coming out of the crowd, like through the tunnel where like the Dolphins come out of normally and the Hurricanes in that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
In a boxing, we were talking to Shakur Stevenson earlier. By the way, if you missed that, you can subscribe to the podcast. And he came out in, like, boxing garb, like a robe and, like, gloves and, like, going through the crowd like a boxer. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen at a concert. And they rocked. They were awesome.
I like going into a boxing ring before a boxer. Have you ever done that where you come out and, like, you're kind of a hype man?
I've actually fought in a boxing ring before, so.
You have fought a boxing match or you did karate?
I did kickboxing in a boxing ring, yes.
And did you win the fight?
I did.
Split decision?
No, no.
Unanimous decision?
Unanimous.
Not a
TKO? I mean, we were teenagers, but I almost kicked the guy through the ropes.
Yeah?
I'm telling you, if you want to fight, we can do it. I'll let you wear all the protective gear.
You're a bad man. And by the way,
I don't know about a bad man. I mean, I was a bad man when I was 18 years old. I'm 44. I'm probably not a bad man anymore.
Which is why I'd still take the fight today. You know, it's kind of like Shakur Stevenson said. You know, his opponent, Valdez, he waited too long, man. He waited too long, and that could be the situation for you, George. Right. You might have waited too long.
I mean, listen, I'm definitely not the person I was. I'm not the athlete I was at 18 years old at 44. That's for sure.
I still see you and me going out into the courtyard at LA Live and putting out a boxing ring, and I walk out in like one of those sumo outfits, and you walk out in like a Karate Kid kind of outfit. And you're all karateed, and I'm all sumoed, and then we just brawl, and you just start throwing kicks at me until, by the way, until the sumo suit deflates. That's when you have to stop kicking me.
Well, I don't think that deflates, does it?
Well, it seems like it's blown up.
It's heavy. It's like sandbags, I think. That's why I'm saying, like, you keep saying this sumo outfit. I don't think that that thing is filled with air.
Well, one time I wore one of these sumo outfits. I was at a Ducks game. And they said to me, hey, we've come up with this wacky promotion at in between periods. And here's what we're going to have you do. You're going to get on your sneakers, and we're going to give you like these little booties to put underneath your sneakers. And they've got a little bit of grip on the ice, and they haven't put the Zamboni out yet. So the ice is still from the period. And you're going to run around in this sumo suit. And I did it, and I won the race. Not that, you know, I'm really that proud of it, although I did mention it, didn't I? And I was wearing a sumo suit. And I think, George, these sumo suits, I feel like they could deflate.
Yeah, I don't think they're made. I mean, maybe someone out there in the audience would know. They may have worn one before somewhere. But I don't think those sumo suits are made out of air.
So my nephew wore the, it's similar to the sumo suit. He wore the, like, the T-Rex one, mm-hmm. that, you know, that's filled with air. And he had, like, it had, like, a little motor, like a battery-powered motor that blew air into it, like, the whole time.
Yeah, that's like so the Halloween costume version, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't super light, but I don't know if the sumo ones are different.
Well,
yeah,
a boxing ring, dude, could you imagine what a huge promotion this would be? Out in the courtyard at LA Live, you know, they bring you out. Me, I'm trying to think of who I would have with me that would be, like, my rapper hype man, you know? That would maybe I'll have like Jay-Z do it for me or something.
I would come out with Freddie Prinze and O'Shea. Well,
that's good.
What's Freddie Prinze going to do?
I mean, Freddie Prinze will whoop your ass, man.
What do you
he'll
mean
whoop
he's
going to
whoop
ass.
My ass? Well, but,
he'll
no,
whoop
but you,
my ass.
He's going
to. Sure.
He's your hype man. What's he going to do?
He actually trains. Like, he still trains.
To do what?
He trains MMA.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But what? But he's going to be your hype man?
Well, he could be in my corner.
Okay. All right.
Him and O'Shea.
Okay, and O'Shea's going to do what for you?
I don't know. He'll just be in my corner.
Okay. All right. Got it. I'm going to get Jim Lampley.
I mean,
Lampley.
You want me to find, like, someone, like, to rap me to the ring?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Jay-Z walk me out and rap to me.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting Jay-Z to do that.
Sedano should have Pitbull.
Oh, Pitbull would be good for you, Sedano.
It would be good.
Pitbull would be really good for you.
Pitbull's pretty expensive. I don't think we could afford it.
You know who I'll get?
I think you'll do it.
You get Pitbull, I'll get Modest Yahoo. Get like the one Jewish rapper that's out there.
Well, I didn't think of the Latino thing. I just because he's Mr. 305.
I know, but you got a Cubano, para un Cubano, and then you get, you know, my guy, Modest Yahoo.
Ooh, what about Bad Bunny?
Oh, Bad Bunny would be great.
Well,
for me.
I mean, if we can't get Pitbull because he's expensive, we're definitely not getting Bad Bunny.
Man, forget the money. Let's
dream
just
big,
get it.
George. Dream big. All right, get us to this Lakers coaching disaster, or as you described.
Yeah, So. So Jay Wright quits, right? Or retires from Villanova. He's an amazing coach. No one would deny that. And he'd actually been linked to Philly a bunch of times because obviously they're in Philly. And so he was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, which you can hear each and every morning here on the station from 6 to 10 a.m. And, you know, I don't remember if it was Jay or Key. Somebody asked him, maybe Max. I don't know. I wasn't listening, but I just saw the quote after where we don't have the audio, right? Just out of curiosity.
No, not for that one.
I can't do a Jay Wright impersonation like I can do a Chris Russo impersonation, but I'll just do my best job. So they ask him about, like, hey, you know, like, what if you get the itch again, basically? Like, would you consider the NBA? You know, and he's like, look, he answered very honestly. Scotty said, look, I, I can't tell you how I'm going to feel after I retire in like 3 or 4 years. So I can't rule anything out, you know? And immediately that goes to, oh, he's going to coach the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, come on. Like, first of all, I've already told you, it seems fairly obvious to me the Lakers want someone that they can control a little bit, okay, as in the franchise. And by that, I mean someone that they have some leverage over, right? Like a Frank Vogel in that situation.
Are you saying, and I'm, listen, you're like a puppet. Like,
no,
you're
I'm
down on the bench. You're down on the bench, and we're telling you what to do.
No, I'm not saying a puppet. Just someone that they've got some leverage with, that they mm-hmm. can be in control. Like you said, they want control back from LeBron, that mm-hmm. they want control. They want control of their franchise, right? So I think that's who they want. And if you're going to get someone like that, you're probably going to have to get someone who is either out of work or an assistant to be the head coach. Now, if
somebody
I had to
who
guess,
wants a job, wants a head coaching job.
And if I had to guess, and this is, you know, this is why that this name surfaced. If I had to guess, and again, this is reckless speculation.
Do
okay?
it. Do it.
This is not me reporting a damn thing. Okay.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead.
If I had to guess, okay, that the Nick Nurse story that came out, it's probably because I'm sure LeBron and his team would love Nick Nurse. And by the way, who wouldn't love Nick Nurse? He's a really damn good coach. Okay. He's got the Raptors who are all banged up, you know, on the brink of tying the series against Philadelphia. So I when that name comes out, it makes some sense. He is his agent is now his agent who his name escapes me, Andy something or other. Last
Griffin?
Name escapes me. No.
Not Andy Griffin? No, might be.
Andy Miller is his
oh.
name.
Right. Yeah.
Andy Miller, who is one of the big coaching agents in the NBA. There's only like three of them, okay? And Andy Miller was one of them, and he joined forces with Clutch Sports. So that makes some sense, right, why they would want Nick Nurse, on top of the fact that he's great, is that Andy Miller reps him. But I don't see the Lakers doing that either because you have to give him compensation, as I've talked about, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And he's going to cost a lot of money.
Blase, blase.
And blase, blase. And you're not going to, you know, you got to pay him a lot too. So you got to cost a lot of money. You got to give up stuff, and he's going to want some semblance of control. So, but like this Jay Wright stuff, like maybe they go to Jay Wright in a few years, but I don't think Jay Wright's coming to the Lakers right now. Like I think that you either unless you back up the Brinks truck for someone, and are you going to try a college coach right now? Like No.
Well, let me just say this about Jay Wright. For me, this is just my own opinion. But for me, it's now or never. I mean,
you're now or never.
Here's what I mean. I think that if you're going to make the jump to the NBA, you should probably do it now, because in 2 or 3 years from now that you've been out of coaching and you've been working in the front office in the Villanova athletic department and you've been shaking hands and you've been raising money and you've just been an ambassador for the school. 3 years from now, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, Jay Wright was a really, really great college coach, couple national championships on his resume, a really great run, 20-plus years at Villanova. But for me, if you're the Lakers and you even have the slightest bit of interest in Jay Wright, you at least talk to him. And from the Jay Wright perspective, if you really are serious that someday you might consider it, well, that day should be now while you're a hot candidate. I don't think 3 years from now we're going to be talking about Jay Wright the way the NFL talked about John Gruden, or the way the NBA in some ways are talking about Mark Jackson. So if I were Jay Wright and I were thinking about it, for me, it'd be now.
No, absolutely not.
Why would you
because
be so opposed to Jay
jobs.
Wright?
There's not many jobs open right now. If you're Jay Wright and you want to coach in the NBA, you wait till one of these years like last year where there was like 10 openings.
Well, let me ask you this.
Which one you want.
Well, but if the Lakers did, you ready? If the
right,
Lakers
but what
did,
makes you think he wants to coach the Lakers?
That's what I'm asking you. So, but I'm just saying, if the Lakers did, why would you not consider it?
Maybe he's not interested.
Maybe he's not, but maybe he is.
But why would you be? Oh, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
We've sat here for weeks now, months really, talking about the dysfunction of this organization. You don't think Jay Wright knows the dysfunction
of course,
the organization?
Of course,
then?
I'm not saying that he should politic for the job or lobby for the job. I'm just saying that if they came to him and they wanted to talk to him, if I were him, I'd have the conversation. Because all the things you just said about the dysfunction
in the
organization.
He just said to Keyshawn, Jaylen, and Max, maybe down the road, but not right now. I need a break.
But no, I'm supposed to take that at face value?
I mean, you're just going to call him a liar?
I wouldn't call it a liar. I just say that I'm not so sure I buy that.
Okay, then you're just kind of calling him a liar, just not
I'm
using
just
the
not
word
sure
liar.
I'm not sure he knows what he wants to do yet.
Okay, big deal or no deal. We know we want to do that, and that's coming up next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thank you, Christopher. Big deal, no deal. And our friends at Radio Tinder, presented by our new sponsor, Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small-batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. And, of course, demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Go ahead, Linz.
All right, so college football fans and just college sports fans in general rejoiced everywhere today when Mark Emmert announced that he's stepping down from his long-held role as NCAA president. Emmert has led the organization since 2010 and has overseen a decade of momentous change in collegiate athletics. The move comes just months after the NCAA adopted a new constitution in January that allows each division to set its own rules.
Hi, Chewy.
Sorry, that's Chewy in the background.
That's all right.
To
What's
say
up,
about
Chewy?
Mark Emmert.
Right. Chewy's excited about this.
He loves college sports. So is Mark Emmert leaving the NCAA a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
A big deal, because I would say that Mark Emmert's tenure, particularly the last decade or so, maybe longer, has been mired in controversy. So it's a big deal because of that. And there's probably an opportunity for a new voice in college athletics, considering all the change that's going on in college athletics.
See, I'm going to go the other direction and say no deal. And I'm looking at it more from just a sports fan perspective. Like, I wonder how many people actually know or really care who this guy is. But a lot of things did change from the transfer portal to the NIL. You know, I saw a college female soccer coach, meaning a guy who coaches these women's soccer players, and he has an Instagram video, and he's like, hey, I just want to introduce myself, I'm the coach of this team, and we've got a lot of really great girls on our team, and we can really help your business. Like, they're soliciting NIL deals for these kids. So these big changes happened while he was in office, and he's going out.
Well, but they didn't happen because of him. They happened reluctantly with him.
And that's what I'm getting at, is that it's him leaving is not a big deal because all these things happened on his watch, if you will, and he wasn't exactly supportive of these things.
Yeah. I feel like it's a big deal because I think a lot of things, like the whole BCS system and the NIL, like that stuff was all a long time coming, and it should have been changed years ago. And this guy was just stuck in the dinosaur age, and I'm glad that he's going to be gone. Now, he's going to be around, I guess, until they find a replacement, or at the very latest, June of 2023. So have to deal with him a little bit longer, but at least he's on the way out, so that's good. All right, so next one. Mets starting pitcher Chris Bassitt did not mince words when he expressed frustration and concern for the well-being of his teammates after three more Mets batters were drilled by pitches in last night's 3-0 win over the Cardinals. Bassitt placed the bulk of the blame on MLB and the baseballs, which he says are all different. He said, quote, MLB has a very big problem with the baseballs. They're bad. Everyone in the league knows it. Every pitcher knows it. They're bad. They don't care. MLB doesn't give a damn about it. They don't care. We've told them our problems, and they just don't care. Is what he said a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
It's a big deal, and he's right. They don't care. Clearly, you don't care about player safety when pitchers are telling you the balls all feel different. There's no grip to all of them. The grip is all out of whack, and we can't control the ball. That thing can hit somebody in the head, and it has now multiple times. Luckily, there hasn't been a huge issue because the helmets have been there to protect them. And there's a player safety problem in baseball, and they don't care. They're not doing anything about it. You know, but maybe Rob Manfred will send them AirPods or something like he did after the lockout or whatever.
No, those weren't AirPods. Those are actually legitimate headphones, a little different.
Or whatever, yeah.
You know what's interesting about this is it's shocking, isn't it, that the baseball itself is not just purely standardized? Because in a football, Like, you remember back to Tom Brady with Deflategate. It's the same ball. It's just about how much air is in the ball. You would think that in baseball, there's just a standard formula for how to create a ball. And I wonder, is it a conscious thing? Like, hey, 5,000 balls are going to be spun this tight, and 5,000 balls are going to be spun a little bit looser. Is it a conscious thing? Because
it's ridiculous. I don't know if it's conscious or not. Like, the NBA changed the ball a couple of times. And you know what they've done every time? They've consulted the players. Even so that David Stern one time, like, in the middle of the season, was like, yeah, this is a disaster. We're just going back to the old ball.
Yeah, I remember one time when I was in college, we always used a football. It was the standard college football. It was called a Wilson 1001. That was it.
Yeah.
And they changed our footballs because our head football coach got a deal with the company. It was called Baden, B-A-D-E-N. So we changed what footballs we played with. And I remember him saying to me, our coach, he's like, you notice any difference with the ball? I'm like, yeah, big difference. You know what the coach said to me, George?
What?
He said, you're a head case. He said, probably so. Turns out 30 years later he was right. But, I mean, I could tell the difference of the ball.
Yeah, of course. You deal with it all the time. Why wouldn't you be able to tell the difference?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the baseballs aren't all made the same is pretty weird, if you ask me.
Stupid. Stupid. Yeah. Not weird. Stupid.
Our last one here. So, Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly have been publicly dating since June of 2020. I know you're a big fan of this story, Sedano, because you shared it in the group chat yesterday. So, Fox recently addressed her relationship with MGK during a feature interview with Glamour, and she confirmed that, yes, indeed, they do drink each other's blood. She said, quote, yeah, so I guess to drink each other's blood might mislead people, or people are imagining us with goblets and we're like Game of Thrones drinking each other's blood, but it's just a few drops. But yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes only. Okay, is this a big deal or no deal, Cap?
It's no deal for me, and here's why. Because I imagine the two of them sitting at home one night and they go, hey, you know what we should do from a ritualistic standpoint? Let's drink each other's blood. Okay, let's do it. Okay, how should we do it? Well, I'm going to go get a needle and I'm going to poke my finger and then you suck on my finger and suck the blood out of it. And then I'm going to poke your finger and I'm going to suck the blood out of it. And look what we did. We did this cool ritual. We drank each other's blood. That's so dumb. So dumb.
As the guy I sent the tweet about, had quote tweeted, all good guys, it's just for ritual purposes, nothing to see here. by the way, didn't Angelina Jolie many, many years ago, didn't she give like Billy Bob Thornton like a vial with her blood in it?
And yeah, he wore it as a necklace, yeah.
Right. People are weird, man. Like, it's just weird. It's just weird. That's it. There's really no other. It's a weird deal. How about that? It's not a big deal. It's not no deal. It's just a weird deal.
Well, let me ask you, would you ever drink Kelly's blood?
No, not willingly.
Did you ever do that when you were kids where you like cut yourself or you pick a scab and you like rub your thing together and be like, we're blood brothers.
Dude,
like,
we're blood brothers. Yeah, that's right.
That's gross. But like now thinking about it, but like that's something that kids did. I think it was on a TV show.
Right, but if you're like 7, that's okay. You know what I mean? Not when you're 37 or 47.
Who knows what show that was on? Because let me tell you the scene. I don't remember what show it was. They both put a little cut down their wrist, and then they took their wrists and put them together and then tied their wrists together, and they're like, we're now blood brothers for life. Who knows what show that was from? I remember it as a kid, but I couldn't possibly tell you what show it was or movie.
I feel like they did it on Stand By Me, but not that exact way. That could be
Brothers
wrong.
For life, man.
Well, there was a few, I feel like, that did it, but I will find it, Cap.
Blood Brothers.
Gross.
Weird. All right, cool.
Ritual purposes only, okay?
Yeah, just for ritual purposes only. There you go. That is Big Deal or No Deal each and every day at 6:30. Coming up next, our final segment of the show, and in this final segment, Russell Westbrook. He did the thing, Cap.
Oh, no. The thing?
He did the thing on social media. We'll tell you about that coming up in 2 minutes.
You got the look.
My book. By the way, Travis, that's just gross, bro.
I feel him.
What the hell?
I can feel him.
What?
Please don't.
Well, the thing is that, when I come up to the studio, I'll change my clothes. But when I'm working from home all day.
You wear the same pants every day for a week?
I don't know if it's a full week, but maybe like 2 or 3 days.
Okay. 2 or 3 days, you're wearing like sweatpants in and out. You're changing. You're going out of your house. You're taking them on and off. You're not doing anything. Maybe. But the entire week, the same pants?
Yeah, it's pretty funny you say that because yesterday I was wearing a pair of sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and I got into bed. We got off the air yesterday at 7, and I was like wiped because I told you guys, you know, I had like this stomach flu or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got into bed at like 8
that
o'clock.
That smoothie wore off. That smoothie, of course.
Yeah. Whatever was in that
whatever
smoothie.
Whatever that was.
Yeah.
Smoothie. Yeah.
I don't know what she put in there. I thought it was protein powder. That's what I asked her to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into bed, and I was like, can I get into bed wearing like the same clothes I've been wearing all day? And then I realized.
I mean, you probably should change.
I know, but I then realized I was like, I haven't been outside and I haven't done anything. So for all intent and purposes, I'm wearing my pajamas anyway. So I just got into bed wearing all my clothes last night. Mm-hmm. And by the way, listen, like I'm not like that usually. Like my son, he's 21, so he's a guy. You know, he's kind of still a young guy who's kind of a little gross. Like my son could go to sleep wearing his clothes that he was wearing on Tuesday, wake up in the same clothes, and go to class. Like, gross. I'm like, dude, change your clothes. Like, nah, it's no big deal. What's the matter? But, I mean, Travis still just a guy's guy. What can I tell you, George?
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah.
In a guy kind of way.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely a man's man. There's no question about that.
Not me.
Well, you're definitely not, yes.
I had this really weird dream two nights ago.
Here we go.
No, it was a weird dream. And like, do you guys remember your dreams? Like, do you remember them?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
I always do.
So some people are like that, where they always remember their dreams. I don't, but this one, for some reason, was super vivid. And me and my father were at this little airport. I couldn't tell you where we were. And my father said to me, you get in that plane, I'm going to get in this plane, and we're going to fly to San Diego, and we'll meet you there. You follow me, like as if we were getting into two cars, right? And so I get into this plane, and I turn it on, and I realize I don't know how to fly the plane. I don't know how to communicate to the tower. I don't know how to use any of the gadgets. But I started the plane, and I started heading towards the runway. And I could see the plane in front of me. My father, he takes off. Now, George, you have to understand, my father's a man's man. He can fix anything. He can drive anything. He's a man's man. So he told me, fly the plane. We'll land in San Diego. We'll meet there. So if my father told me to do that, I was like, okay, Dad, you got the trust in me. I'll do it. So I'm heading towards the runway. And I figure this thing on the right is the gas pedal. This thing on the left is the brake. This thing in front of me is how I pull it back. It takes off. I'll fly. Mm-hmm. But then it occurs to me in this dream, this is totally true story. It occurs to me, I don't know how to land this thing. So I turned around and went back and I woke up. I don't know what happened after that. I guess nothing because I woke up. But my dad's a man's man. He can do anything, fix anything, fly anything, drive anything. And he told me to fly the plane, and I couldn't do it because I'm not a man's man.
And you were a big disappointment in the dream.
Probably so.
Yeah.
I think, by the way, I think I told a friend of mine that same story, and you know what he said to me? He goes, did you recently see that Red Bull air trick? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
These two Red Bull pilots, both were flying these planes, and they take the planes, and they both jump out of the airplanes.
Oh, yes, I did see this.
With the goal of getting into the other plane. So these are going to be the first two guys in the history of the world that are going to take off in one plane but land another plane. You got to see this video. It's unbelievable. So they're flying through the air, these two guys, and the planes are flying through the air, and one of the pilots gets into the other plane and lands it successfully, and the other one can't get in the plane because the plane is free-falling, and it goes headfirst right into the desert. And I had just seen that video. And that's probably what was subconsciously in my mind as I decided to turn around and not fly that plane that my dad told me to fly. Anybody else want to do any psychology on that?
Oh, I'm good.
You have a very interesting, it's National Tell a Story Day, Cap. So that's what this was brought to you by.
I feel like you and I have very, very, very vivid dreams that when I tell my friends, they're like, dude, seriously, write a book. Like, just because of all my dreams. I'm like, I know.
My book of dreams.
They're like little telenovelas that happen while I'm sleeping. It's weird. So I feel you.
It is National Tell a Story Day, so there you go. I just told you a story.
I'll tell you a story.
Go ahead.
Your podcast co-host is going to owe me a nice bottle of scotch here in a minute.
Tell me why.
Because he bet me that the Bulls would go further than the Miami Heat in on a recent edition of your podcast when I was on before the playoffs.
So my podcast guys are like, hey, will Sedano come on the podcast tomorrow because we want to pay off this whole Bulls versus Heat thing? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, George, I'd like to get you back on the pod tomorrow.
Wait a minute. They bet that the Bulls would beat the Heat?
I think it was the bet was that the Bulls would go further in the playoffs than the Heat.
Right, which I said was laughable at the time.
That is laughable.
Yeah, but you got to understand, one of my podcast partners is like a completely outrageous hot take machine who's also a crazy Chicago Bulls fan.
Well, if he's a Bulls fan, he would know that they're nowhere near as good as the Heat.
Yeah, but he also thinks he knows everything about basketball.
And he doesn't know anything.
Again, then if he did, then he would know that that's not... I don't think anyone's taking that bet.
Right, and I could already envision the excuses of, oh, we were hurt, and then Zach LaVine got into protocols. Like, they didn't get smashed by 30 with Zach LaVine.
Caruso got a concussion.
Right. I mean, listen, honestly, the Bulls, the one win they got was, like, the luckiest win, like, ever. And, like, the Milwaukee should have swept this series.
Well, they're about to finish it off. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, so, yeah, and then the Warriors play tonight on TNT against Jokic, which will be fun. I think that Denver will make that one close. But
hey, by the way, did you know Michael Thompson's son, not Clay, who plays for the Warriors, he's got another son, Trace, who's a baseball player, and I think he was just called up from AAA to the San Diego Padres. Somebody might have to fact check me on that, but I'm almost sure that that's the case. So if that is the case, hey, Michael, man, congrats. I know he's been up and down in the major leagues, but that is still amazing.
Yeah, he's been up and down a couple times. He played
former
for
Indian, Cubs.
Yeah, he's played for a bunch of teams. Yeah, he's trying to live the dream, man. Yeah, Trace Thompson to join the club, according to reports here.
Yeah, how about that? Way to go, Michael.
Yeah. So, congrats to Michael and Trace. I mean, way to go, Trace. Really, more than Michael. No offense, but Michael too. But really, Trace.
I mean, my goodness, can you imagine? I mean, having a child that makes it as a professional athlete is incredible. Two children? Come on.
Yeah.
How about three children? Like the Watt brothers in the NFL. Three.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I'll come on your podcast. When do you want me to come on?
I think tomorrow.
What time?
I don't know yet.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
I got to talk to the producer, you know? I always screw these kinds of things up.
Talk to the producer. Mm-hmm. I'll come on and I'll wait for him to crank up the excuse machine. I
mean,
that's a $150 bottle of scotch he bet me.
Is that what you guys bet?
Yeah, McAllen 15.
Jeez. God, I hope if he... Well, now, I mean, look, Chicago just got knocked out. Milwaukee 116, Chicago 100, so that's over. So you officially win, correct?
Yeah, the Heat was 1-5 yesterday.
Oh, I better let him know this. He's screwed. $115 bottle of...
I think he knows.
50-0. 100-150.
I'm letting him know right
now. Congrats, man.
I don't lose when it comes to liquor bets, bro.
You should know, Cap.
Yeah, I found out the hard way.
And you,
I mean, look,
you
only
had
to pay like half of what he had to pay. And you make way more than him. You should actually pay this up for him.
Ooh.
Well, that's what I'm worried about is going to happen here. Is that he's going to say to me, now hold on a second here. Hold on a second, tough guy. You know,
this Sedano, is why you're texting him, huh?
I'm like, yo, I just texted him. I go, yo, you owe Sedano an expensive bottle of scotch. And he's going to wind up coming back to me going, yo, bro, can you hook it up or what?
And it's funny because I bought the bottle just in case, which, you know, I didn't think would happen. But I figured, well, worst case scenario, I can enjoy this one, too. So
that's funny. You guys like to make bets, Cap, you and your co-host, and then you guys both lose. Dang. Didn't you just make another one with Sedano not so long ago?
Well, yesterday, Sedano and I bet that if Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fight,
they would break the all-time pay-per-view record of 4.6 million bucks.
Right. That's what I said.
And the funny thing was, the best part was when yesterday you said that. You were like, I think Jake, because I said the biggest Jake Paul fight has only brought in 1.5 million. And you're like, well, if he brings in 1.5 million, and then Mike Tyson brings in 1.5 million, and I'm like, yeah, you're still 1.6 short.
Yeah, right. But then, I don't know, Logan Paul brings in 1.6. Take it easy, will you? I don't need you in health and safety protocols for the rest of the year. Take it easy.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. I had to lift up the microphone. Oh, that was great. Yo, Giannis just went 11 of 15 against this Bulls team in this game today. 11 of 15 from the field.
Giannis is so likable.
He's the best player in the NBA right now.
He's just such a likable character. He's cute.
He is a likable character.
Good looking. And he's got a great personality.
Did you guys see the live that his wife did where he was stacking the Oreos?
Oh, yes. I did see that yesterday.
That was hilarious. And he's like, what are you going to do with them? Eat them.
Oh, he loves Oreos. That's
I know,
thing.
Yeah.
That and Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets, he says.
I love it. I love it.
He's the best player in the NBA right now. And by the way, he still has more to grow, like in the sense of his game. Like he still can be a better shooter. But right now he is the best player. He's the most impactful player in the NBA. Now, I don't know if they'll win because Chris Middleton is hurt, like in the sense of like they'll win a championship again. I mean, Chris Middleton's a big deal for that team and, that changes the dynamic, but he is the best player in the NBA right now. If you ask me, like I don't even flinch right now.
You know,
like,
he may be the best player in the NBA, but I think we would also agree that the most exciting player right now is Ja Morant. The dunk that he had last night, and when you see it in real time, you're like, wow, spectacular. But when you see the still photograph of how far away he is, dude, it's not only his body.
But I've been telling you that all season. Like, you got to get on that bandwagon. You've been sitting here, and I appreciate that you have taken a very real approach to studying the Lakers night in and night out. Now what we need to do is get you to branch out beyond the Lakers.
Well, I mean, listen, here, I'm telling you that Ja Morant, when I saw the still photo today, he's got the ball all the way behind his body with his left shoulder towards the basket, and he's got to be at, I don't know if he's at the free throw line, but maybe a foot or two inside of it. He's got a defender in front of him squared up. This isn't Kevin Love making way for LeBron, okay? This is the defender is squared up ready to take the charge. And he's got the ball all the way back. And then the fact that he flies over this guy and somehow puts it down, man, Ja Morant he's incredible. What an explosive, talented player and likable also.
He's an incredible player. He is... If you're the NBA, he is going to be one of your pillar superstars, for sure. And he plays in a small market, which is great. You need some guys in those small markets to make those small markets matter. And I tweeted it yesterday. I think he's going to win a championship when it's all said and done at some point in his career.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. I was wondering, though, where you thought he'd be playing when he won that championship.
Memphis.
You don't think he's an eventual Laker?
No.
Mm.
He's playing in Memphis his whole career.
Really?
I think. I mean, while he's a superstar, maybe when he's older, like he ends up going somewhere else or whatever. But as a superstar, he's playing in Memphis his whole career.
You mean like when he's at like the LeBron stage, when he's 37?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes guys at the end of their career want to play a little longer than their prime, and some teams are cutthroat. And they're like, no, we love you, Ja, for everything you did. But, you know, you're 37 years old, and we got to move on because we're a small market. So, yeah. But I think he is a star. Like he's a star. Luka is a star. I mean, the NBA has a lot of really good young players, man.
Luka is a superstar. I love watching him play, too.
Dallas is going to be I was telling Lindsay the other day, Dallas is not going to be an easy out for Phoenix. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be an easy out, especially even if Devin Booker's healthy, it's not an easy out.
Right, but without him.
Woof. If he's not able to play, that has got upset in the making for sure. So,
all right, you ready to roll out of here?
Yeah, and you tell me when you want me to come on the podcast to collect my $150 bottle of scotch.
Boy, I don't know. Let me first decide who's paying for it.
I mean, okay. You
figure if I'm paying for it, I don't know. If he's paying for it tomorrow.
Excellent work there, Cappy.
Yeah, nice work, everybody. Fun.
Great job, Lindsay and Laura. We will talk to you mañana at 3:45-ish for Crosstalk. See ya.